You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my ear bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey Kids Don't Read Any Comic Books Radio Show. I'm Martin Bruda, and with me today are
Adam Bishop,
Chris Gilpin,
and Chris Ellis.
God. That is so, like, it just.
I had no idea who you were pointing to. I was just waiting. No.
I was pointing to nothing. It's just it's stupid Zoom. It's so much easier when we're all in the studio together.
Yeah, because in the studio, you can see who you're pointing at.
It's crazy.
Yeah, my screen, Martin was pointing at me. So I'm like, oh, I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, that's the whole thing that shows up differently on every screen, right? And it's like, what do we do? What do we do? I don't know. It is what it is. So, comic books. Yeah. I got anime.
Oh.
Playing with special effects here in Zoom while we film this, because not led all ADHD distracted at all.
No.
From the job we're supposed to be doing. I got rants.
Oh.
I got rants.
Does one of them involve Mr. Miracle?
No, I'm okay with that, actually. We can chat about that, but let's start with news. Should we start with news?
News.
I've been sitting on this shit for a while, and now that it's semi-official, let's get into this. So, Canadian publisher, Chapter House Comics, friends of ours, work for them, don't work for them, publish with them, so don't take this personally, anybody. Chapter House is dead. Chapter House is gone.
Yep.
Chapter House is no longer. The Canadian publisher of Chapter House is bye-bye.
Gonzo.
Now, it has been replaced / absorbed / the assets reassigned to, however legalese you'd like to apply it to a new company called Lev Gleason Publishing or Lev Gleason Incorporated, depending on, again, legalese. Those guys that don't remember, Lev Gleason was a publisher of comics in the Golden Age. They did the original Daredevil, the weird one with the multicolors in boy comics and stuff. And the plan is that they're going to, you know, reprint some of those characters and stuff like this. But Lev Gleason is not Canadian. It's not a Canadian company. It is registered, incorporated in Delaware, the United States of America. So I don't know. I mean,
dang.
It, you know, we still got the same publisher, Keith S. Morris. We still have, you know, Fatty's still in there somewhere controlling things. Jay Baruchel still got some interest going there. They're continuing to produce Captain Canuck. It's the publishing is going to look a little different, but you know, it's still going to be some stuff. They've already announced they got three divisions. One is Comic House, which is going to be the superhero characters. I can't remember what they're going to call the Lev Gleason book novel part of things, but there's a novel division that's going to have novels. And the first two novels have been announced, Daredevil. I'm not sure. Are they going to call it Daredevil?
You're probably the most knowledgeable on this one.
Yeah, I'll have to look. So a novel based on this Golden Age Daredevil or a reboot thereof, and a Captain Canuck novel. So those are the two first prose novels announced from that division. And the other division is called New Friday Comics, which was also a comic book way back in the day published by Leb Gleason. That is going to be their creator-owned imprint. And they've already announced a poop ton, a metric poop ton. Sorry, an imperial poop ton, since we're American, of titles, including, finally, Fourth Planet is getting a proper trade paperback treatment. And we can shoot the shit about that, too, because that's a whole other story. So I don't know how I feel about this. It's the death of a Canadian publisher. I don't care how you paint it. It's a death of a Canadian publisher. We don't have Canadian comics anymore. You know, that's an exaggeration. There's lots of great guys out there producing, you know, independent guys in the comic book creators, the Canadian Comic Book Alliance and a few other, publishers and stuff. I have one here somewhere. Dwellings. That was a great comic book. I think we talked about that on one show. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, is this good? Is this bad? Indifferent?
It depends on what happens next. Like, as an American company, are they going to keep moving with the Canadian content authors or writers, artists, or are they going to Americanize that and then use kind of lowest, cheapest guys they can find? Are they going to care about Captain Canuck in 5 years? Is that going to be, something that they're even worried about doing? Or are they just going to hey, look, we have Daredevil too.
Yeah. I mean, like, the first comic book that they're releasing is called Leb Gleason Presents. And it's, I can't remember, 64 page or 80 page comic book, $9.99 US. But it's going to have the first issue, 20 pages story of the reboot of Silver Streak, who was a Leb Gleason character. It's going to have the third issue. I could be wrong about all this, so don't take me. I should have done more research. The third issue, I think, of the new Captain Canuck, of which the first and second issues have been coming out-ish. Something else, which I can't remember, that escapes me and that I should look up. And then a reprint of a Golden Age Silver Streak comic. So that's the plan, is this anthology is going to come out and everything's going to be in the anthology. So does that mean no more Captain Canuck comic? We just get a Captain Canuck story in a Leb Gleason comic?
What do they gain by absorbing them? That'd be the big question, because lots of times you'll see companies merge, absorb other ones and kind of use their assets, but then their IPs, they'll just let them out to die because they wanted something else from that company. So that'd be my question.
Well, in publishing, your asset is your IPs.
Yeah.
You know, the characters and the licensing and stuff. And I have no doubt that Captain Canuck comics are going to continue, Captain Canuck stories. You know, at the very minimum, we're going to finish the current Captain Canuck season 5, I think is the number. We're going to finish the Canuck Beyond story. There's going to be more Canuck stuff. Like, there's no, I'm not worried that there won't be Canuck comics. But if it's profit and loss, if Silver Streak, Daredevil, and Leb Gleason released this huge panoramic image, and there's, I don't know, I didn't count, 40, 50 characters. If any 5 of those characters start outselling Canuck, what is the motivation to continue to produce Captain Canuck comics? You know, What's the point if it's not making any money? So we could get into the semantics about, you know, who bought who and what and who owns what. And is there additional investors? Is Fatty's position and Jay Baruchel's position watered down a little bit because they brought in additional investors? Who knows? Doesn't matter really to the content. It just, I don't know. I just feel shitty about it.
It's weird.
You know. It's great that there's going to be another Captain Canuck prose novel. That's cool. But that stuff was all announced ahead of time. You know, like you said, what are they going to do in 4 years and 5 years? And I'm sure it's going to come down to money. What's making money? It's a business. What's profitable? What's selling? Now, I mean,
it always was a business, but
yeah. Now, I did. Well, yeah, no. I mean, like, let's be honest here, okay? There's a lot of publishers out there. There's Source Point Press. There's Scout Comics. Writers and artisans, AWA, Upshot, whatever they want to call themselves. Aftershock. Not to mention IDW, Boom, Image, blah, 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 blah. There's an entire previews full of alternative publishers to look at. I heavily invested emotionally in Chapter House because it's a Canadian company, specifically. Like you said, Canadian creators and stuff. Already the two Canadian series, the two Captain Canuck series that are in progress are not drawn by Canadians. I can't remember the country of origin of the fellows that are drawing it, but they're from South America somewhere. They're not Canadian. And the art's great. Don't get me wrong. I love the art. You know, it's not a slight against them, but there's a little bit of maple syrup pride knowing that Canadians are doing Canadian comic books. You know?
Well, and that was Chapter House's big claim to fame, right? It was Canadians doing Canadian content. And now that it's not Canadian, and like the Canadian content now is shriveled up to like Captain Canuck only, and, you know, whatever other characters they're going to carry over, because a lot of those were creator owned, right? Like Pitiful Human Lizard, I'm pretty sure they didn't get the rights from Jason on that. So you know, like all of those, you know, characters like that, they don't exist anymore unless Jason decides to, you know, sell that to like Dark Horse or something.
I'm 99% sure that of all the chapter verse characters, all of them are coming across except Pitiful Human Lizard. That's a whole different story. That's Jason's creator own thing. He had a special contract for that. You know, he's got his character, and if he decides to progress with it, he could publish it anywhere, wherever it is. I don't know the details. Yeah. But that's the only one that I'm pretty confident, you know, just from the scuttlebutt, that you won't be seeing him in a Lev Gleason book. Same thing with Die Kitty Die, Fernando Ruiz, and oh my gosh, how can I be brain farting on Dan DiCarlo? Oh
my goodness, I blanked on it too.
This is horrible.
Fernando.
One of the nicest guys in comic books and always a fun guy to chat to.
Dan Parent.
Oh my gosh, Dan, I am so sorry.
And everybody's Googling it all at the same time.
I knew what it was. I was watching a struggle.
Oh, thanks, man.
That is horrible.
Thanks, appreciate that.
That's horrible. Nice guy, him and Fernando.
I was just like, damn, Parent, I don't want to get it wrong, but I'm pretty sure
But that was, again, a special publishing thing in the crossovers or anything like that. And so that kind of stuff would move, like, Fourth Planet. Look, I love everybody at Chap. It's COVID. I got stir crazy. I'm old. I'm ready to throw kids off the lawn. I don't give a shit. So I don't know. If I get in trouble, I'll get in trouble. Fourth Planet had some production problems. One of the production problems was that a very early part of the art was lettered. So when it came time to mesh the finalized art with the lettering, things didn't quite match up well. So a lot of the speech bubbles were kind of weird. It was a little harder to flow with the story. So a lot of people read the book and kind of went, what? What happened? And the creators are fully aware that this is, you know, it was a glitch and needed to be resolved and stuff. So there's always been talk of a redone trade paperback with everything in its place and, you know, kind of fixed up and re-edited and stuff like this. And it's coming. It's coming from New Friday Comics. And that's Fred Kennedy's book. And, I wish I could remember how to pronounce the other fellow's name. No, not even going to try.
The Look artist?
Yeah. I can't remember whether he's Serbian, Croatian, Yugoslavian, Polish. Somewhere from my area of the universe. Yeah,
you think it would flow well with you.
Yeah, it's just, if I can't even remember Dan Parent, how on earth am I going to remember my parents' last name? I just can't. Let me mispronounce Eric Larson 6 times. I mean, since we're insulting everybody, we can't. So we're going to see some of that stuff. We're going to see some of the Canadian stuff. Some of the stuff's already been announced in New Friday Comics is already, you know, Canadian creators and stuff like this. Rossi. maybe we should like drink fetch, like fish oil or something like this. Try to get our memories to work. Nah, I'm not even going to bother. But a bunch of books have already been announced with New Friday. You know, we could pull up Instagram and Twitter and find all the announcements there. And so there's already Minerva's Map has been announced. That one looked really interesting. Bunch of other ones. To be honest with you, I think there's like five or six already kind of in the pipeline from New Friday. So that's, but everybody's like, New Friday Comics. Who the hell is New Friday Comics? Who the hell is this? What is this all about? The reason why it's all not quite in my head is because, you know, the social media has been very, very hinty, very vague booky, very like, you know, hey, we're coming. Hey, we're doing this. Hey, we're doing that. But not very splashy. Not a lot of, you know, press out there. Not a lot of this, that, or the other thing. Not a lot of press releases. So I think everybody was just trying to get the Lev Gleason transition under control first. Get that announced. Get that. I mean, you know, it's the corporation was registered in Delaware on the 10th of December. So, you know, this is all fresh. This is all, the wheels were in motion, but it's now all snapping into place. Hence the reason why there was such a late press release. So I don't know.
Is that why the books were late?
That's another story. That's another story. I heard scuttlebutt somewhere along the way that someone said that being a Canadian publisher is what hurt Chapter House. And immediately, just a little bit, you know, just a little bit in the back of the throat. Again, I'm ready to get in trouble today. Just a little bit was like, yeah, that was the problem. That was the problem. Like, to be fair, just a bit off a little bit more than they could chew. It was run a little bit too much by freelancers. Nothing wrong against freelancers, but, you know, if your editor-in-chief slash publisher slash managing director has six or seven other jobs, six or seven other projects, six or seven other clients, and that's not their central focus, and they got bills to pay, and they got to focus on, you know, providing, you're not going to get the same attention as if you hired a full-time, you know, managing director. So, like, don't run this out of a restaurant table, get an actual office going, even if it's a virtual office. Have somebody full-time staff chasing, getting it done. Like, that's what they needed. And then they just tried to publish too much. You know, so then schedule slipped. You know, printers didn't get paid. Books sat on warehouse docks, not being shipped. It's everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows why the books are late.
Yeah.
So now we got the relaunch. Okay, great. Here's the new comic book. Here's the new series. It's going to be a week late. Mother trucker. Books come in. They're destroyed. They're demolished. They're beat to shit. Great.
Yeah. Now, was that Diamond or was that how Diamond got them, right? Like, it's...
Yeah. Like, the details are almost inconsequential. Like, when you're dealing with a product that has a semi rough reputation and you're relaunching it, the relaunch has to be perfect. Good. Otherwise, like, the immediate comments were, oh, here we go again. The new Chapter House can't ship a book on time. Nope. Can't do it. Now, there's a ton of reasons. Like, there's no finger pointing or blame. Like, this is, you know, there's a billion reasons. Chapter House is not the only company that ships a book late once or twice. Lots of everybody, even DC and Marvel do it all the time. Yep. It happens. Image. Like, where's the last Ronin number two?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, where the hell was Berserker number one? You know, so
it's out there somewhere.
Yeah. So don't take it personally. Anybody at Chapter House, it happens.
Yep.
But if that relaunch wasn't spot on, bang on, it's like, ugh. So now we're kind of relaunching with Lev Gleason.
Yeah. And people are nervous. And that's not what you want.
Is that book going to show up on? Yeah. Now, if we start switching to trade paperbacks, do we give a shit? Do we care if a trade paperback? No, I don't think so, because we're all of a sudden it's bingeable. You can just grab the whole trade paperback, read the whole damn thing, get the whole story, be happy, be satisfied, get off the toilet because your legs have frozen because you sat there reading six issues, and fall to the floor. And you know, once the blood comes back to your legs, you can crawl back up and carry on your merry way. So I don't know. I'm a little agitated slash excitable slash hyper about this because, you know, I'm emotionally invested in Captain Canuck.
Have been for a while.
Yeah, a couple of years.
The second part of this particular rant is I have something called CDO. I'm not sure if you know what CDO is. It's OCD spelled alphabetically like it's supposed to be. So everything's filed. Everything's in CLZ. Everything's this. Everything's that. Everything needs its place. Everything this. And then somebody who's not quite as OCD as me comes in and edits the CLZ entry and puts a whole bunch of stupid shit in there like, oh, this was published in America. And you know, the cover that says cover A is actually cover B. I'm like, no, it says right on the UPC code, cover A. So you file it in CLZ as cover A. The lads at Chapter House are not making this easy. I happen to have a shipment of comics. Now, they were very, very kind to include a non-destroyed copy of Captain Canuck number one. So it's in great shape. It's fantastic. Very, very pleased, very happy. It's got that uncoated paper stock that kind of sort of mimics newsprint, but not really. Looks great. Has a nice little UPC code. Says direct edition cover A, and the UPC code ends in 2311. Perfect. No problem. Awesome. Thank you. Brilliant. They also released a heavier paper stock direct edition. This is the digital edition. Is that what they call it? Demand edition. So this is straight from the website. Glossier paper, a little bit thicker. Everything's great. Same comic book, just, you know, just a little bit fancier and stuff like this. It is marked
cover A.
Demand edition, cover A. No problem. We got direct edition cover A. We got demand edition cover A. No problem. Same UPC code. Mm-hmm. Universal problem. Product code is identical on both of these books. Now, that wouldn't be a big problem, except some American is going to constantly screw with the entries in CLZ because he's confused over which one of these is supposed to be where because everything's indexed by UPC code. You know, or if you're selling comic books by UPC code, now you're confused as to which. I'm probably the only person on the entire planet that this annoys, but I'm still annoyed. Hmm. But still, huge, huge thank you for having the nicer copy of.
I have the exact same problem with the UPC codes, but it's not comic books. It's on Highlander DVDs.
Right? Yes. Like, why is the disc ID and the UPC code the same on multiple different releases? Makes
or
no
different
sense.
Different disc IDs, but same UPC. It's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. If you're going to make a change, you're supposed to make a change. Now, they also shipped me, I ordered, but they also shipped me cover B and cover C. So we have a Andrew Thomas variant cover. Looks really good. He's the guy who redesigned this particular version of Captain Canuck, the new Darren Oak costume and stuff like this. And then there is another variant here. And it escapes me off the top of my head who did the art here for this. But if I read quickly, Ken Lashley. No, Ken Lashley did the main one. Ho Chi Anderson did cover B. He did the interior art, didn't he? Anyways, doesn't matter. Excellent covers. They look great. They're fantastic. I will stop twitching and go back to normal and stop drooling as soon as I get over this UPC code thing. And it's, like I said, probably the only person on the planet that didn't.
You mentioned the CLZ. Did you see that their latest update has come in? So now you can transfer your, when you put your comics in, you can select what denomination that you want it to be, whether you want it to be in CAD or USD or pounds, or that's kind of a neat little feature. And yeah, it'll do the auto conversion for you too.
Yeah, because in the
so
past when
Canadian
sorry in the past when I put comic books in and I used the denomination field, not the cover price but how much I actually paid, I tried to keep it all in USD so that I would know, but eventually it all got scrambled. So I honestly don't know if all the values in there are USD, half of them are Canadian. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Marty, I should hire you to sort all my stuff for me. You'd be like, there's nothing labeled. I'd be like, nope.
What's going on here?
If I get a comic book and there's no cover for it, I'm just like, yeah, that's fine. I'm not gonna add it.
No. I'm like creating entries in CLZ like weekly when I bag and board my comics to put stuff in.
When you add the pictures, do you scan your cover?
Yep.
Okay, I've taken pictures of it before and be like, yeah, that's good enough, and then I'll upload it.
No, I'm scanning. Oh. I'm fixing the curvature of the spine one. I'm color correcting. If there's a couple of cracks or dust particles, I'm photoshopping those.
Martin has his protractor out, just getting the angle just right of the comic.
Well, I have totally used the skew thing to fix the – oh, yes. All I am.
Yeah. And then Adam comes along and changes it out with what he took of the photo, like a picture of, swap that cover right out.
I know what I'm doing with my vacation time for the Captain Canucks CLZ.
I have a friend of mine, Harold Sully, and we go back many, many years, and I have strong suspicions that he may be on purpose just to trigger me once in a while. You know, replacing a Captain Canuck cover with like a picture of a Playboy or something like that. I could see. Then again, I'd probably put, you know, flaming poop in a bag or step and ring the doorbell and run and tackle in the bushes too. So all's fair in love and war.
He's the one you're always fighting over, like Marvel or DC, who's better, right?
Yeah. He's a big Marvel guy. I'm a big DC guy as kids. And then we give each other the very, 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 very well-meaning gears back and forth where it's totally done in fun and just.
Well, to be fair, he is right.
Yeah. Oh, shots fired.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Hold on here. There's a remove button. Once removed, Adam Bishop will not be able to rejoin the meeting. His mic is already muted.
He's being shunned. Bye, Adam.
I'm back.
I don't know. I think I pushed the wrong button. He's going to have to unmute himself.
So, what's up with this Marvel Heroes Reborn thing?
Well, just the latest and greatest... Marvel non-reboot.
Is it Onslaught again?
It's a reboot, not reboot.
As far as I know, like, I haven't been following Marvel very much lately. I haven't been following anybody much lately. As far as I know, it's the same universe as the old Heroes Reborn, but I could be, like, really wrong on that, as he frantically types on his keyboard.
If I don't get some Rob Liefeld for my Marvel Heroes Reborn, then I'm not in.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be in it.
I love the fact that half the time Rob's covers had a white background, because he's just like, you know what, this is good enough. I don't need to do a background, just white.
Yeah.
But I think Todd was guilty of that as well at some point with Spider-Man.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine how many hours he spent drawing spider webs? Those spider webs were crazy.
Yep.
But it was fun. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, have you been reading DC's Future State?
Ish.
No.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah, I grabbed a couple of... what did I grab? Batman. Yes, I grabbed Batman, Justice League, and Flash on Comixology because I didn't pre-order them. I was just going to get the trades. But then curiosity got the better of me. So I bought those three issues on Comixology since everybody was sold out around here. It's okay. It's just, it's now DC's reboot, you know, catalyst.
Right.
So basically what they're doing is it's like, okay, well, we're going to show you the characters, whatever it is, 30, 40 years from now, the new Wonder Woman, the new Superman, the new Flash and stuff like this. And then when Future State ends and they go back to regular publishing, that Wonder Woman of the future is getting a new book as Wonder Girl.
Mm.
So she's going to be introduced as Wonder Girl. She's getting a number one. So you kind of know eventually she's Roman. And Jonathan Kent is the new Superman. We already know he's the son of Clark. We've already seen his adventures, whatever. So it's not a lot of big surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be Batman?
Fox, but I can't remember which Fox.
Lucius's son.
It's Lucius. It's one of Lucius's sons.
Yeah.
But it's not the one everybody was thinking of when they were mad speculating on the first appearance of the new Batman and grading the wrong comic book.
Did they already try this once with getting like someone to take up the mantle permanently?
Well, Dick Grayson was Batman for a little while. Azrael was
John Paul Valley.
Yeah, he was Batman for a little while when Batman broke his back. Damian was Batman, wasn't he?
In the future.
Yeah, in the future, but not currently.
No, he's too short.
Who else was Batman? Other than
he's nine.
Yeah. Other than Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, in the bat suit. Robot suit. Yeah.
I actually really dug Dick Grayson as Batman. Mm-hmm. He had Damian as his Robin. And Damian as a foil to Dick Grayson's character was just awesome. I thought it was a good story. I really liked the Dick Grayson as Batman. So, I mean, it's just continuation. But, you know, Infinite Frontiers is here, which means that nothing is out of continuity because there is no continuity.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to come out with a whole series of Damian Wayne as Batman in Europe, do it. Don't care. Go ahead. You want to do a whole series of Silver Age Superman? Absolutely. Launch it. Do it. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But do we have to be worried over the fact that we have the right amount of dog bowls since we had Crypto and then somebody else introduced a different pet dog? So now we got to show Clark as a teenager with both pet dogs. Otherwise, you can't explain what. Who cares? Who cares? Clark had a
dog.
Nobody
cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Everything's in Elseworlds now.
Nobody cares. Just do it. Just make a good story and do it, which is fine.
You know? That's sort of what comics were, what they used to be, right? They were like one-issue books. Like there was no continuity in them. It was just one story to the next one. And it didn't really start carrying over, you know, like the Golden Age stuff. They had like five or six stories in one book, right?
Yep.
The original Superman books, they were like multiple stories that weren't connected.
Well, your and my favorite Superman story of 1967 in Superman number 200, Hyperman. Clark Kent's cousin lands in Montreal.
Yep.
You know? And yeah, before it used to be called an Elseworlds book. Now it's like, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's not tie ourselves down with this. Like, honestly, they bent over backwards over this stupid dog bowl nonsense to somehow explain how in one comic book, Superboy had a pet dog named Crypto, and in another comic book, he had a different pet dog. Dogs die. They do. It happens. Nobody said that Crypto was Clark Kent's only dog. So they editorially went out of their way to feature in one of the comic books both dog bowls with both names on it to tidy up that string. When you're bending over backwards to make to fix continuity issues like this, I'm sorry, this is the Marty Rant show. You guys should turn my mic off. When you're bending over backwards like this, this is what happens. This is why all of a sudden Power Girl is no longer the cousin of Earth 2 Superman. She's the daughter of Arion, the wizard from Atlantis in that book that nobody freaking read and you can find in every dollar bin and will never become a Astonishing X-Men number 3. Nobody gives a flying poop about Arion.
Yeah.
You know, who is Donna Troy? I don't know. You destroyed her continuity 7 or 8 times. Who is she? Let's not even get started in Wally West. This podcast will eventually hit the air. And I know that there will be some cursing involved if we ever have a Wally West show. Yeah. So I'm digging it. Screw it. Who cares about continuity? Just make a good story.
Sure. When people complain about it, they're like, but this happened. I'm like, but it's not real.
Yeah. Sorry. That happened somewhere else in the Omniverse. Different Batman. Different Superman. Shut up.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. Back in the 90s, when a character died, it meant something to me. I'm not talking Batman or Superman. Like when Colossus died the first time, it was like, oh my God, what just happened there? Mm-hmm. And you know, and it meant something to you. Like you kind of got a little depressed because they killed off one of your favorite characters.
Yeah,
but he's died and come back at least 5 times. I think
that's another reason why continuity doesn't really, you know, burn my britches as badly as UPC codes do. Because you know, they keep rebooting everybody, they keep restarting everybody, they keep bringing everybody back from the dead. You know, the big thing was mm-hmm. Gwen Stacy will never come back from the dead. Gwen is dead. It's mm-hmm. It was a significant story. Never. The moment Stan Lee isn't day-to-day operations involved at Marvel anymore, Gwen Stacy's back
in everything and on every cover.
Yeah I don't know, whatever. Care. Like, you were talking about Mr. Miracle, right? DC's relaunching, rebooting, redoing the history of Mr. Miracle. No, they're not. Anybody that knows anything about Mr. Miracle and the New Gods, Shiloh Norman has worn the Mr. Miracle costume before. Shiloh Norman is a character from the original Mr. Miracle comics. He's been around. He's like Jon Stewart is to Hal Jordan Green Lantern. He's been there. So now they're going to make a comic book featuring Shiloh Norman as Mr. Miracle. It's like, okay. Great. Hope it's a good story. I want to read it. You know, it's not like they all of a sudden they turned Scott Free into a different ethnicity and they're, you know, retroactively rebooting in this stuff and, you know, taking Wally West and making him a person of color and destroying, you know, 128 issues of history and my entire childhood and all this other stuff. And I told you we should talk about Wally West. No, this is how you change the diversity of characters. It's Mr. Mm-hmm. Miracle, but it's not Scott Free. And it's somebody else from the history. He's got continuity. It's there. It's Shiloh Norman. Look it up. He's been around forever. So I'm good with it.
Yeah. I hesitate to bring up Tim Drake in the Titans TV show.
Like, they butchered Tim Drake as a character. You know? Hey, Batman's been Batman for 5 years, but he's got these 7 Robins. How the heck did that happen? What? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got too many Robins. Let's make one a Red Robin, and then let's make him a Drake. Now let's, like, what is he now? Like, so then that's what happens when you're, you know, excuse me, a slave to continuity. If you're no longer a slave to continuity, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Here's my question with DC, because I don't follow DC whatsoever, really. Marvel had, like, Marvel Ultimate, and then they had, like, other, like, not imprints, but other universe pockets. Does DC not have that as well?
DC originally started out with the idea that there's multiple Earths. So the reason how you explain that Superman is still Superman, but Green Lantern is no longer Alan Scott, he's Hal Jordan, with a totally different costume and different set of powers, is everything that happened in the Golden Age happened on Earth 2, a different mm-hmm. dimension, Earth 2. Mm-hmm. And in Earth 2, Batman married a Catwoman, had a daughter named Huntress, who became the character Huntress. Power Girl was Clark Kent's cousin, Kar-El, whatever that Supergirl's Zor name is. And it was all in continuity. And then the modern Silver Age stuff was on Earth 1. And every so often, there would be a dimensional rift in the summer in Justice League of America. And Justice Society of America and Justice League of America from Earth 1 and Earth 2 would have a crossover. And it'd be freaking awesome. I loved watching the Golden Age characters. So that was the beginning of it. Then all of a sudden there was Earth 3, where the crime syndicate, the EAP. Then there was Earth S, where Shazam and his boys, Capital and Tawny the Tiger, lived. And then there was Earth Q, and then Earth ABCDZ. And all of a sudden it just kind of got out of hand. Mm-hmm. But it was all in the same continuity. Marvel just
and
said,
that's
okay.
Where Crisis came from?
Yeah. And what Crisis was supposed to do was kind of fix all that, merge all those planets together, get rid of all that history, because, you know, let's ruin everybody's childhood.
I was going to say, yeah, why don't you just leave it the way it was? It was fine.
Now, Crisis on Infinite Earths was a freaking fantastic story. The art was absolutely brilliant by George Perez. All those characters and cosmic, it was fantastic. It was great. Loved it. But it wasn't necessary. You know, they could have done it differently. Now they're like saying, you know what? This is the Omniverse. There's so many Earths. We're not even going to label them. We don't care. Where did this story happen? Somewhere.
Yeah. So there's no longer 52 Earths.
There's 52 Earths. There's an entire Omniverse. You can have as many infinite numbers as you want. And nobody's dead. Everybody's alive, because everybody who you thought was dead is alive in some alternative time stream. Hmm. You know, this is time travel 101, right? Where even in Avengers, they're like, well, if you make a change here, it splinters off and creates a whole new alternative reality. Well, for every splintering off in reality, that's a whole new Earth.
So the storyline, the three Jokers.
It happened.
It happened somewhere.
It happened somewhere. But there's no guarantee that it happened in the current Batman comic that's coming out every month.
Yeah.
It could have happened in the Batman Urban Legends comic that's coming. Or it could have happened in the Batman Next comic that's coming. Or the Batman and Catwoman book that's coming. Or the Batman and Harley Quinn book that's coming. Yeah, are you seeing a trend here?
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to see a lot
of Batman. Let's tag team Batman with everybody.
What is he, Wolverine? He's got to be in every book?
Yeah.
Hey. Yep.
But Shiloh Norman, first appearance, Mr. Miracle number 15, 1973. All right. And he wore the Mr. Miracle costume multiple times. In Final Crisis, in Brightest Day, he was a character in Firestorm. You know, he's been around. So they're going to make him the Mr. Miracle, and they're going to do a story on him. Freaking awesome. I'm in. I'll probably wait for the trade, but I'm in. What else do you want me to scream and yell about?
Anybody watched the Batwoman yet?
No. Ads on it, like for it all the time on TV, but yeah, I understand.
I watched like the first 20-15 minutes of it just before she was going to put the costume on, and then I stopped. I don't know, maybe because I wasn't invested in the first season.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Everybody's laughing because I'm eating chicken fingers.
Yeah.
Called chicken tendies.
Leroy Jenkins! I got chicken nuggies.
I did see something on, you know, like one of those comic book groups that always post random stuff that says, Ruby Rose is considering coming back for season 3.
Oh, really?
Couldn't find any other work. I highly doubt that she's coming back. I mean, the reason she left was because she got hurt, right?
It was too much of a schedule.
She was hurt on the set.
Like, what's his name? Green Arrow.
Yeah.
What's Green Arrow's real name?
Yeah.
Stephen Amell. He on many podcasts, he's like, I'm putting in 12-hour days. I'm the main character. I'm on every page. I'm in every shot. You know, this TV show is about me. So I'm the first to get there, and I'm the last to leave. And after a while, that's rough. That's tough. Like, if you're Lex Luthor in Smallville, you're filming, you know, 3 days this week, none the next week, 7 days the week after that, you know. But if you're Clark Kent, you're in everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're in everything. You're interacting with all the characters. At some point in time, every character interacts with Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it was just tough for her. But I don't know. I'm kind of burnt out on the TV shows, to be honest with you. Like, it started before. Like, I didn't watch the last season of Arrow. I didn't see the last two seasons of Flash. Didn't watch the last season of Gotham. Pennyworth was good. I watched the whole Pennyworth show. Didn't watch the last two seasons of Supergirl. It's almost like I'm burnt out on the comic cartoons. So I didn't really watch Batwoman first season. So am I going to watch the second season? I don't know. Binging with Babish is on. Binging with Babish. 3D Botmaker. All the good YouTube channels.
Right.
Chris, you would love 3D Botmaker. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, yeah? No.
Do a search. 3D Botmaker. Guy's got an entire diorama, Hot Wheels diorama drag strip race through his basement. Like, this is an elaborate thing. and they narrate these car races with these dinky cars. Americans. Hot Wheels cars. You don't know what a dinky car is. You've never had a dinky branded car. Look it up. It's real. I'm not being facetious and swearing and talking about my member. Dinky cars. But and they narrate it for real. Like they're earnestly narrating this, you know.
Yeah.
And every car has a name, and every car has a fake driver. And when the cars wipe out on the track, they're like, "Oh no, somebody!" You know, like one car fell off a cliff. They had a mock funeral with all the little model characters there. Hilarious 3D bot maker. Gotta look it out. Funny as heck.
I still need to watch episode 2 of Legion season 1.
Yeah.
Oh.
I haven't watched
Legion.
Yeah.
I didn't see Legion either. I found a lot of those shows to be more soap opera-ish than, like, it wasn't so much about the Green Arrow as the Green Arrow. It was more about his love life and then how, you know, that affected others around him. And so I got kind of tired of it, you know, like, and it wasn't so much about like trying to save the world. It was like in The Flash, it was more about, you know, trying to save his girlfriend from dying. And I was just like, you know what? I really just am not digging this. Like
what happens is they hook the guys with the superheroes, but they keep the ladies for the romance.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Legion was bonkers. Like, I liked it, but it was like you're watching it on acid. It was just like so freaky.
It was true.
Yeah. Not to mention Aubrey Plaza was in it, so that was a bonus too. But
yeah. I never oh crap, I was gonna say there's a certain TV show. Oh, I'll get back to it. I forget now.
No, I didn't see Legion when we were looking at that Disney Plus Disney Star channel. But we did see that the Cloak and Dagger show was there.
Yeah.
So it's possible that Legion's going to be there because that was Fox, right?
It was FX. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's totally possible that Legion's going to be on the new Disney Star channel for everybody who isn't American or Japanese. Mm-hmm. If you're American or Japanese, the channel that we're referring to is called Hulu.
Yeah.
For us Canadians, Hulu's going to be part of Disney Plus. It's being renamed Star for some reason. I don't know why.
Was did you spot Runaways on the list?
Yes.
It's on there now, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure Runaways is on Disney Plus now, yeah.
Yeah, I've never
Which is another show I got to catch up on.
Yeah, I like both shows, Cloak and Dagger and Runaways. I thought they were both well done.
With the Disney Plus, there's a drama about the old Fox show Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Because the last episode that aired on TV was the comets coming towards Earth and then being like, oh, I wonder what's happening. And then that was the show got canceled.
Yeah.
But on Disney Plus, it's out of order, but in production order. So that wasn't really the last episode, but they used it as the last episode while for their syndication run. Wow. So people are like, where's the last episode? They all die. It's like, it was a real downer, but no, that was like middle of the last season. But they showed it out of order just to cap off the series. Like, they died.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That was like The Simpsons, only dinosaurs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is basically just the Honeymooners, but nobody remembers who the Honeymooners are.
Yeah. And the Flintstones.
It's a good thing they didn't feature the Honeymooners or the Flintstones in WandaVision, or people would really bitch and complain. As it is, it was Dick Van Dyke and Bewitched, and everyone's like, who? What? Yeah. Why is the TV black and white?
The Brady what?
What broke?
Actually, my son is like, I'm not watching this if it's all in black and white.
What?
I gotta be honest. 14. That was me when black and white comic books came out in the 80s and 90s. That's the whole reason why I didn't read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because I was like, black and white?
You could have made so much money, Martin.
I read color.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get your kid to watch Logan in black and white. It's great.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good in black and white. I don't know why, but that was good.
Actually, the first episode of The Walking Dead in black and white is pretty slick, too. Mm. Like, there's just something about watching those that kind of show in black and white where it's so different than what we watch now. Like, when I was a kid, they did there was always black and white reruns on TV, right? Like there was Gilligan's Island and
Three Stooges.
I Dream of Jeannie and Three Stooges and like all of those shows, they all had black and white because like it was cheaper to shoot in black and white. So if they figured the show wasn't going to do well, they'd shoot it in black and white. And then if it did well, then the second season was in color.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the black and white TV shows for some of us that are old enough, it wasn't a choice to film in black and white. It was the technology.
Yeah.
Nobody chose to film Honeymooners in black and white. They just didn't have black and white color cameras.
Yeah.
Like in the Stone Age, I was the remote control. Martin, go change the channel. Clunk.
Clunk. Yeah. And then UHF and VHF. I mean, we had that, but then we got a remote control, the Gerald one.
Yeah. I used to go to my grandmother's house and I'd have to like twist the knob and then you'd wait for the antenna to slowly go.
Yeah, the rotor. Yeah. You'd be like tuning the rotor and you hear it up on the roof going.
My grandparents had one of those too. And then you had to fine tune it when it still didn't come in.
Yeah. It's like just a millimeter.
Oh, too far.
In grade 7, we moved out into the country. Dad bought a fishing camp / trailer park cottage rental, and the rotor was seized solid, and the only channel I got for 7 years was chess.
Oh, nice.
So you couldn't tune into anything, and I missed Knight Rider, I missed Star Trek Next Generation, I missed them all, but damn it, did I watch a lot of W5 David Suzuki. Man of Green Gables.
Yeah,
watched them all.
You got your Fred Penner on.
Yeah,
watched them all.
Yeah, Littlest Hobo.
Yeah,
well, Beachcombers.
So I didn't read any of my comic books this week. They're still sitting here in a pile.
Me either. I looked at them, but I haven't actually cracked them open. The Brooklyn Gladiator was in book number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited to read that, and I didn't actually crack it open yet. That's the arts by Simon Bisley.
Oh, yeah, nice. We were talking about that a couple shows ago.
Yeah, it's a fun. It's fun.
I'm definitely gonna grab that as a trade when it comes out.
I reread comics, and that was it. I didn't read anything new. I reread because I'm a broken record. Waterworld. I went back to the well. It's been a while since I've read them, and I forgot that the way that Waterworld was created for the comic books is that there were comets of ice that came down to Earth. And that's what caused the flood, because all that ice melted the ice caps and it added more water, which makes sense.
Well, there you go. I actually bought something off of Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, gosh.
A stack of comics.
Well, and you didn't get stabbed in the Tim Hortons parking lot?
No. No. Okay. It was $20. There was, I don't know, maybe 10 random issues, Avengers, whatever, but there's 3 or 4 trade paperbacks, Deadpool. One's a hardcover. And then there is an Iron Man trade paperback. So I thought it was a pretty good deal for $20.
Yes. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I went to Dollarama today, and there's nothing at Dollarama.
No, it's all dried up, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's all dried up. Might come back later on, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, we got about a minute left. Anything else we need to whine about, rant about? I could whine and rant about my great slime monster.
Well, that's what that was. I was like, what the heck is that on the screen?
You guys ever watch the movie Green Slime?
I don't think so.
What?
I'm more of a The Stuff kind of guy.
Yes. If you like The Stuff, you like the Green Slime. The Stuff. Oh, my God. We had The Stuff. My uncle had First Choice, pay TV. He had The Stuff. Cobra and some other movie which escapes me at the moment, recorded on a VHS tape, and he gave it to us, and we watched that movie, I don't know, 400 times, 450 times.
Crazy. I'm gonna have to look that up now.
Oh, the Stuff. Great. Oh, it's
you're hilarious. Dating yourself with First Choice too.
Yeah, exactly.
Fish heads, really pulling fish heads, eat them up.
And Cobra, that's a canon classic.
Yeah, first. With Brigitte Nielsen.
Yep.
And Marion Cobretti.
Well, lads, we're out of time. You know, we got a couple of seconds here or there that we have to cut out of dead silence. So if we go over a few seconds, that's not a big deal. But I would be remiss if I don't remind everybody that the Hey Kids, We Don't Read Comic Book Show is available as a podcast, downloadable from heykidscomics.ca, soon to be heykidsdon'treadcomics.ca, Google, Stitcher, everywhere. And while you're at it, look up It's a Kind of Garbage podcast, Adam's podcasts, great stuff, all sorts of different topics and subjects. He's diversifying the product line.
So much stuff. AKindOfGarbage.com. Check it out. There's links and bios of top 10 lists. There's a bunch of stuff. It's really fun.
We'll link it in the Facebook page, maybe, possibly. If, yeah, I don't know. It depends if I get over this damn you thing. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Right. Thank you.
All right.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
Can you do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.